broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 9th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we believe in and support the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great ways for solutions. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, available online at libertyroundtable.com on demand free. But if you have the heart to donate, would love it. We talked yesterday about Melania bullied for her looks and her accent after her anti-bullying speech. The campaign called Be Best is aimed at creating a healthy lifestyle for students on social media and in the classroom, as well as preventing opioid abuse among students. And in my opinion, a very great program. They say, well, she borrowed some pages from Barack and team. Fine. Who cares? Everybody gets credit for trying to be kind. President Trump signs the Be Best proclamation, but now they're saying that Melania is not culturally American. Interesting. At least she's here legally. Let's talk to these naysayers about cultural Americans. What about illegal versus legal? Is she more cultural than the illegals? Just kind of wondering about that. CNN polls say Americans think the country's doing better with Donald Trump than at any time during the Barack Hussein Obama era. Wow. Rosie O'Donnell doubles down. The way she vows to fix her illegal donations is to illegally donate more. Maybe she'll go to jail for that, huh? Climate skeptics, they say, are more eco-friendly than climate alarmists, says Thomas Williams, PhD. So if you're a climate skeptic, you're more likely to have a less abusive environmental footprint than those who are the alarmist type. Wow, just ask Al Gore about footprints, huh? Hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. We had our guest on Alan Phillips, VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com. And we talked about this televangelist, Jim Baker. He says that his Missouri cabins are the best way to be prepared for the apocalypse that's coming. Okay. Mystery man who gave Bible to famous atheist has now been revealed, writes Art Moore, WND.com. We also talked about armed teachers becoming a reality in Georgia. We'll ask our guest about that coming up, by the way. We also talked about a Scottish man in custody for carrying a potato peeler in public. What you need to know about the vaccine injury compensation fund. And please learn more about the National Childhood Vaccination Injury Act of 1986. We talked about all that on the broadcast yesterday. Check it out if you have time, libertyroundtable.com. Donate if you have the heart to help. We could use your financial support to grow our presence in the media. That's a recap of yesterday's show. Today's show starts now. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. And Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org on the line. Armed teachers become a reality in Georgia. What do you say to that, Larry?
Finally. Finally, we're getting some progress. This is something, as you know, been the law has permitted this, I believe, in your state. And there's a few states where the teachers, a few counties and other states that can do this. But as a rule, we still have this eye roll when we make the suggestion that, you know, before the cops can get there, which takes 5 or 10 minutes at least, maybe we ought to have some teachers with a gun if they want to have one.
But you don't have wackos going berserk in these schools either.
No. You've never had a problem in Utah. You've never had a problem in these schools in Ohio and Texas and the states where this has been permitted. It's interesting that Liberty University in Virginia, the Jerry Falwell School, if you will, it's a huge school, and they have in for some time invited people to come to their campus with their concealed carry firearm. Haven't had a problem there either.
Yeah, because people get it. People are like, hey. Now, there was a lady that was 70 years old we just covered the other day, and I guess some thug came in her house, and she shot him, and he fled, and I guess she used the rape-me-not to stop the malcontent. And the good news is she basically said at the end of her statement, hey, don't be breaking into people's homes. You might get shot if you do that.
Do you think?
But, I mean, she's spot on. Why can't we have that go viral and create copycats?
Well, that's exactly right. It's I think actually...
Uh-oh, did we lose you, Larry?
I can hear you still.
Go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, I think people are realizing that this is something that needs to be law. It needs to be changed. The prohibitions are only killing people. And I'm encouraged. I don't think we're going to see this in San Francisco right away, but I think there are lots of places where finally it is happening.
All right, what do you think about Rosie O'Donnell going to be facing time behind bars for making illegal campaign donations?
Who knows what she was thinking? And she says she's going to do it some more. It's like she thinks that she's above the law, that there's nothing that can happen to her. The law is just for little people like you and me, Sam, but not Rosie. That, I think, is a real fine indicator of how the elite thinks. There's one set of laws for you, and there's another set of laws for me, or there's no laws, really, and we just do what we want.
All right, I guess Bill O'Reilly is threatening to choke CNN's Jim Acosta. He says, I want to choke him. I don't really want to hurt him. I just want to scare him. What do you say to that?
I don't think it helps much, even if Jim Acosta is full of himself, and I understand the sentiment. But I don't think we ought to be talking like that. That's, again,
maybe we ought to follow Melania's plan instead, huh?
I think that might be a better idea. You know, let's circle back to that. You mentioned the criticism that had been made of her by...
Yeah, it's out of control. It's insanity, Larry.
Yeah, the liberals tell us on any other day of the week, when they're not talking about Melania, that we're a multicultural society... salad. No culture is inherently better than another, you don't you know? And then in comes this classy, elegant lady who speaks five languages, and they're talking about her being some sort of a retard because she has an accent when she speaks English. She's probably got an IQ double most of her critics, and I'm not just pulling a number out of the air. She is exceedingly bright, and for them to talk like that about somebody who's clearly superior probably shows, again, their level of intellectual accomplishment.
Well, and what's interesting is they want to criticize her, and I don't understand what you criticize her for. She's saying, I want less drug abuse for children. I want them to get off opioids, and we got to look at that. I want people to lead with kindness and be kind to one another. I want people to, in the schools and everywhere, I want people to be, you know, kinder and gentler and more patient. I don't want bullying. I want to really focus on these things. And isn't that what the liberals have been clamoring for forever? Now they get it and they complain? I don't even understand it.
Well, I think I do. It's because it came out of the mouth of somebody whose last name is Trump. And we know that anything they say has to be just horrible.
I commend her. I think she's spot on. I think we need more of it. I think we need copycats of people running around with random acts of kindness everywhere. And I think we need copycats just, you know, because the news covers it so much, it's so viral that copycats just run around and do less drugs and be kind to everybody. I mean, just imagine how horrible society would be.
Well, indeed. How horrible indeed if people were
just
not
crazy.
Drugged up and doing stupid and terrible things because they were under the influence. I think she's a great deal. because she's clearly the most elegant.
You know the other problem she has, though, don't you?
Well, she's married.
She's here legally.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and she came here legally even before she married Trump. She was here for, what, at least 10, 12 years before the president married her, and that's just unacceptable.
Yeah, five language-speaking people that come here legally just can't be dealt with fairly.
No, not at all. It really reveals the mind of a liberal that without double standards, they would have no standards at all.
Wow. All right, so Rosie O'Donnell might go behind bars for her abuses of the law. Bill O'Reilly's trying to threaten people. He ought to stop it and follow Melania's lead. Melania's being critical. I guess the Boy Scouts are in the news. Boy Scouts, add girls, drop the word boy. They're going to be called the Scouts. BSA, USA Today reports that piece. Did you know the Boy Scouts are dropping boy from their name, Larry?
Yeah, made me wonder if the Boy Scouts know which bathroom to use.
Well, if they go into Target, they do. Anyone they want. Wow. All right. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the LDS Church, or the Mormon Church, announces that they're planning to cut ties with the BSA now, and they're going to launch their own programs.
That's something that's overdue. I think people of all stripes ought to be doing the same thing. The Boy Scouts ought to become something that exists only in the history books. You can go to the Smithsonian, hopefully, in a few years, and that'll be the only place you can see anybody, a mannequin.
It brings up the term back in the good old days, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt, our guest, gunowners.org in seconds.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so the Boy Scouts, add girls, drop the word boy. The Mormon Church cuts ties. They announced a plan to cut ties with the Boy Scouts, or the Scouts, I guess you'd call it now. They say by the end of 2019, December 31st, they'll cut ties. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, are very polite about their delivery on this. They, you know, wish the Boy Scouts well, and they basically, you know, thank the Boy Scouts for all they've done for men for generations. They've been with the Boy Scouts for 105 years, one of the key organizations supporting the Boy Scouts over the years. But they have a very polite way of severing ties. They basically talk about, hey, they've got these global programs they're working on for the church worldwide to focus on, you know, helping men and women. Do you have that statement handy, Kurt?
Yes, I do, Sam. You know, and as you said, it's a joint statement from the church and the BSA. And so you've got, you know, as you said, kind of some nice words, but now here it is. You know, you're looking at...
and by the way, this is a way to agree to disagree agreeably, okay? They're obviously going their own ways because they feel differently about what they want going forward, but they're doing it very politely. Kurt, go ahead.
Yeah, so you have... stated yesterday, says the Church of Jesus Christ and the Boy Scouts of America have been, partners for more than 100 years. The scouting program has benefited hundreds of thousands of Latter-day Saint boys and young men, and BSA has also been greatly benefited in the process. We jointly express our gratitude to the thousands of scout leaders and volunteers who have selflessly served over the years in church-sponsored scouting units, including local BSA districts and councils. In this century of shared experience, the church has grown from a U.S.-centered institution to a worldwide organization with a majority of its membership living outside the United States. That trend is accelerating. The church has increasingly felt the need to create and implement a uniform youth leadership and development program that serves its members globally. In so doing, it will be necessary for the church to discontinue its role as a chartered partner with BSA. We have jointly determined that effective on December 31, 2019, the church will conclude its relationship as a chartered organization with all scouting programs around the world. Until that date, to allow for an orderly transition, the intention of the church is to remain a fully engaged partner in scouting for boys and young men ages 8 to 13 and encourages all youth families and leaders to continue their active participation and financial support. While the church will no longer be a chartered partner of BSA or sponsor scouting units after December 31, 2019, it continues to support the goals and values reflected in the Scout Oath and Scout Law and expresses its profound desire for scouting's continuing and growing success in the years ahead.
So it's the most polite statement I've ever read about the separating ties. It's very complimentary. They give plenty of time for the Boy Scouts to, you know, find other funding, other support. There's time for boys that are in the middle of their efforts to become Eagles if they so choose, etc. So very well done, in my opinion. But I'm disappointed in the Boy Scouts. That's just my personal opinion, to which I'm entitled. And, you know, hey, we got to go a different direction. So there you have that. All right, the NRA is in the news, though. Larry Pratt, I guess they say the next president will be Ollie North. What do you think of that?
Well, I think they've chosen somebody that has a very good name. Ollie North was a colonel and served in Vietnam. He's somebody that I think is going to be seen as the quintessence of what the NRA is all about. He's politically conservative, but he's not somebody who wants to challenge the establishment. And so I think he's probably a good fit for the NRA.
Now, part of the problem, though, is you go back to the Iran-Contra days with this thing, right?
Well, he was supposedly involved in some of that. And, you know, I don't necessarily fault him for being involved in that, because that was an effort, even though its legality was questionable, because the people making the laws at the time were not very pro-American. The country was under the dominion of liberal Democrats in the Congress, and he was trying to find ways to keep the anti-communist freedom fighters afloat in Central America and in Nicaragua. Unhappily, they had to resort to less than savory means to find that non-congressionally approved source of money, and they got involved in the drug trade. So some very bad methods being used to support what I consider a good cause, that's never a good outcome.
The point is, there's a big difference when you're in the field taking orders, if you will, versus if you're an armchair quarterback in government circles.
Yes.
That's one issue. The other issue is, hey, there's a big difference when you don't call the shots, and what do? And, you know, when you find yourself in these situations, how do you handle it? And, you know, it becomes a very convoluted thing. And the sad part is, this same scenario goes back to our problem right at the border today. We've got the same thing going on. We've got Operation Fast and Furious, or they call it Operation Gunwalker, whatever you want to call it. Basically, it's guns for drugs, and, you know, we protect drug cartels coming to the United States. This stuff continues today, sir. No different.
Anything, the Fast and Furious program that you mentioned was even more problematic because it was bringing guns into the country to have them sold illegally to criminal elements inside the country, and it was being done for the purpose of, once it was uncovered, oh, we got to have more gun control. It was a very Machiavellian scheme that had been thought up by the Obama administration, and it blew up in their face. And, of course, they said, oh, no, there's nobody here but us chickens. But, in fact, it was an Obama administration effort to have something that, when it became known, would cause a revulsion against AR-15-type firearms in the country and lead to gun control. That's how much the Obama administration hates firearms and hates people who own firearms unless they're protecting them.
You think Ollie North has the guts to bring this stuff up?
We can only hope. Let's see what happens. I hope he's got that much of a fight in him. I think that we'll just have to wait and see. But in the meantime, those are things that Gun Owners of America has taken the lead on. And I'll tell you, we're going to continue pressing on that. And we're going to keep asking for justice to be done.
All right. I think it's critical because, you know, nobody really got in any trouble over that, did they?
Exactly. They had a few people get reassigned, but nobody had a loss in pay. Nobody went to jail. Nobody lost their job. It just, when it happened and they got caught and they couldn't control the narrative, never mind.
In fact, some people even got promotions out of it, didn't they?
They did indeed. It was pretty scandalous, still is. And I think it's still something that needs to be dealt with. Now, in fairness to Trump, he's got such an incredibly large number of scandals from the predecessor administration to deal with that, you know, while I'm frustrated and I want to see more done on things like this, I also can understand that the deep state is very much opposed to Donald Trump, and his ability to get at things like this is very limited because there are so many people within the federal bureaucracy who are almost openly opposed to anything he does.
Yeah, you got that right. Even when his wife tries to talk about bullying, they attack her and she's not even part of it. It's just amazing. All right, I got a couple of topics related to guns that I want to bounce off you. One headline says this: Illinois counties embrace what they call sanctuary policy for gun owners. Nick Givens writes the piece, and the article is quite long, but it talks about counties in Illinois are fighting back against the state legislature on gun control. What they're doing is they're putting together these called sanctuary resolutions. They're saying, hey, we took a page out of the illegal alien, you know, playbook. You got sanctuary cities for illegals. We're going to have sanctuary cities for gun owners. And five rural counties in the state have taken a page out of this playbook, and they're using, quote, sanctuary in their proposals, according to Fox News, to protect right to keep and bear arms. And I guess 20 different counties now, Larry, have taken this county's resolution to try to put it in place there. There's some pretty good pushback. But the battle's on at the state level. When we come back, Larry will comment. Larry Pratt, gunowners.org in seconds.
We'll be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
In a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around and or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom. And then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, one of the liberal states, Illinois, to say the least, with some of the most restrictive gun rights. Restrictions on gun rights in the country, Chicago. It's amazing. Deaths are just all over the place. Black on black crime. Kanye West, everybody talks about it. All they do is attack everybody who brings it up. And then they say white guys won't talk about race or issues at all. Nevertheless, you've got in some of the rural counties there, 20 counties trying to take a page out of this idea that says let's have sanctuary gun rights counties, if you will. Larry, what do you say to that?
Well, actually, it's something that I would hope is a movement that has begun some time ago in the state of Maryland, which statewide is somewhat politically similar to Illinois, a county out in the panhandle of Maryland, where it's wedged between Pennsylvania and West Virginia, had declared itself a sanctuary county. And I asked the one of the county fathers, when I went out there for a function that they had put on to celebrate what they had done, I said, yeah, I appreciate the sentiment behind what you're doing, but frankly, what's the purpose? What can you actually hope to accomplish from something like this? Because you're not saying that you're going to put somebody in jail for arresting or trying to arrest a citizen who was exercising a Second Amendment right. In other words, putting federal cops and even perhaps state cops on notice that you're going to be in the pokey if you try to arrest somebody because he has an AR-15 in the back of his truck. And the answer was, well, no, we don't have in this ordinance, we're not saying that we're going to arrest any of those guys. But we are saying that if the ATF comes in here, or God forbid, even the state police, and they're going to try to pull off something against somebody that has, say, 5 or 10 AR-15-type firearms, we don't have a problem with that. They're not a problem in our community, and we're not going to help the outside authorities. And he said, in many cases, when something is planned against an owner of firearms, and this guy is, you know, other than owning those firearms, he's done nothing at all wrong under anybody's view, any law anywhere else. They need the local authorities to help pull off some of these raids against the good guys. And he said it's likely that they're just not going to bother any of our folks if they realize that they're not going to have the help, because it's not going to make them look good if they come in and can't pull it off well, and they've got somebody who wasn't doing anything. He wasn't threatening people. He wasn't robbing banks with these guns. He wasn't doing anything else wrong by their lights. And so I think we're going to find the same thing in Illinois, and it's a statement that is going to, I think, hopefully continue to be made by other jurisdictions and other parts of the country. And you've just got to love it that there in Illinois, which is arguably one of the worst, maybe the possibly the worst because of the dominance of Chicago in the state, they're having pushback. And that brings the whole issue into the news. And I think a lot of people start to wonder, what was the problem other than these guns, which they tell us are so terrible, but the guy wasn't bothering anybody?
Well, and that's the point. And these liberals are getting so desperate with their agenda, because they know that people are waking up. They know that the new media is taking center stage. They know the tide is changing in the favor of common sense and morality and unalienable right of self-defense. And people are understanding it to the point where these liberals are just getting so desperate they'll do anything. And the more desperate they get and the more extreme they become, people realize how unhinged their ideas really are. So these Illinois counties are saying, wait a minute now, we want to use these sanctuary policies to defend gun owners who are good, honest, law-abiding citizens. Now, on the other side of the coin, there's a new term out that people need to be aware of too, Larry. We'll talk about this. There's what's called red flag gun confiscation legislation.
Terrible,
and these red flag gun legislation could strip gun owners of their right to due process. Now, this is rocketing through legislatures across the country, state by state as well. So on one hand, you got folks trying to defend gun rights in these sanctuary city for gun rights. On the other hand, you got these red flag gun confiscation due process is at the heart of this, the violation thereof.
Yeah, the idea of these laws, and we call them confiscation orders. Red flag is kind of a candy coating of lack of due process, gun grabbing, something that frankly was the idea in the Soviet Union and in Nazi Germany, as well as other places. In order to cover the ugliness of what they're doing, they try to put the onus on the victim, and they try to assert that the victim somehow was a danger to society. Well, they don't bother if a family member or maybe an embittered ex decides they want to go and drop the dime on somebody that owns firearms like this, the authorities then, based on that, without any other information or evidence, no evidence of a crime, no due process where the accused, who has a constitutional right to face his accuser, when the accused is just simply told to sit down and shut up or we'll shoot you, when their house is invaded, it's ransacked, the guns are, if they're there, are located and confiscated. and that's supposed to be the end of it. Well, we don't think that's the end of it. We think this is one of the more dangerous developments in our time, and they're using the hook of mental illness. Well, you don't want to get guns into the hands of crazy people, do you? Well, how do you know they're crazy? Have you proved that? Have they done
well,
anything?
And the most important thing is, who decides if they're crazy? The
and
likes of government?
All that. Well, it's kind of like the Lewis Carroll novel, the Queen of Hearts is the one that will make these decisions. And as she says in Alice in Wonderland, she can believe eight different things before breakfast. And that's the kind of justice that's going to be operating in this environment with these confiscation orders, euphemistically referred to as red flag orders.
And while they're doing that, they're arming government agencies to the teeth.
A development that's already well underway, and this is only going to encourage it, because after all, if these are gun crimes that we're talking about, we have to go in there and be really careful of the arresting officers. So they come in as if they're in a war zone. They come in as they like to call it, in full kit, meaning they're playing soldier instead of cop, and they're dressed as soldiers, bulletproof vests and automatic firearms and all kinds of other weapons of war attached to them and special units with them. It's really quite a sight to see. And God help the person that wakes up at 6 in the morning and finds a swarm of black ninjas all over his lawn and then his house, just itching for a chance to shoot him and his wife and his children at 6 in the morning. It's actually kind of what was done to Paul Manafort, who's an attorney that at one point was involved with Donald Trump when they raided his house. That's exactly the scenario. That was the scene that you would have seen as they went into his house and confiscated records. He and his wife had been in bed. It was 6 in the morning, and they had no idea what this was all about. And it was something that this special prosecutor, who's trying to find something, anything at all against Donald Trump, that he can use to remove him from office, that was the basis for that. So we're seeing an increasing trend where the police powers of the country are exercised very much apart from the rule of law. Unhappily, as the president himself said, we'll go get the guns first, and then we'll use due process. Huh?
Well, Donald misstepped on that one big time. Thank heaven somebody got to him, and he backed off of that belligerent idea. It was wrongheaded, to say the least. It just shows that Donald, is surrounded by too many swamp monsters.
Yes.
And the poor guy's just struggling. He means well. He understands, I think, but then he gets kind of rooked by the people around him. They kind of make him believe that, oh, this doesn't compromise that. And he doesn't really realize their manipulations until he kind of steps back or somebody gets a hold of him and says, wait a minute, Donald, this isn't the way you want to go. I think it's critical to understand, though, that this epic battle is on hold at the federal level, because the Republicans aren't going to go for gun control so far. At least they haven't. But they've got some secret legislative pieces on the docket, though, don't they?
This notion that you can rule by executive order was obviously something used quite a bit by Barack Obama, and it's something that unhappily we can see, as this illustrates, even under somebody like Donald Trump. Donald Trump, we have to keep in mind, has a lot of very good impulses, and he's made a lot of policy decisions that I'm very happy with.
Amen to that. Hold on just a second, Larry. One quick pause. We'll be right back. LarryPrattGunOwners.org. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Larry Pratt, gunowners.org, Gun Owners of America, riding shotgun today. He was talking about Donald Trump, the president of the United States, has some pretty good impulses. He sees things quite correctly a lot of the time, but then folks get around him, you're saying, sir.
Yeah, the president doesn't have a systematic philosophy of conservatism. He's somebody that probably wouldn't even know the name of Friedrich Hayek, who wrote a book called The Road to Serfdom back in the 1940s. It's become kind of a classic of limited government thinking. There's other people of that same nature that I'm pretty sure the president's never heard of. It's his worldview, such as it is probably not all that terribly consistent, and it's based on his efforts as a businessman to survive in a an environment where the government was basically hostile to probably at least half of the things he wanted to do, and whether they were Republican or Democrat in New York State, where he had to operate, that was something that was very bipartisan. Sometimes the state government had Republican leaders, but they were just as bad as the Democrats in New York City. And so he had kind of a nonpartisan view of things, and that's why he was willing to take on the Republican establishment when he ran as a Republican. And he often sounds as a, like he might be a conservative, but at the bottom of his thinking, at the end of the day, he's a guy that couldn't really give you a consistent picture. He's just had it up to here, as most Americans have, and that's what got him elected, was that that view that government has become more trouble than it was worth. They were harassing people, and they'd had enough. And if he'd had a, you know, he wanted to make America great again, and the flip side of that, I think, is I've had enough.
So under the Donald, are we getting more and more right to keep and bear arms codified in law or less? This epic battle's playing out in the states, but Donald met with the gun control advocate teenagers, but he didn't meet with the pro-right to keep and bear arms folks. So it's pretty skewed so far that I see, and I think we're losing ground.
He signed a measure into law which definitely gives substance to what you're saying. It was a large omnibus bill to fund the government, and lots of mischief can occur when they do things like that, and they just tuck all kinds of unrelated issues into the funding measure, the omnibus, as they like to call it for short. And this one had a so-called Fix Nix bill, which is basically a measure to make sure that all firearms transactions get added to a central gun registry through the background check system, which doesn't stop crime. It doesn't. It's not able to do what handy way of getting a record of who has a gun. And that's the danger of this thing. It's based on a lie. The president probably believed it. I'm not saying that he was putting it forth with malicious purposes, but the fact is the bill did have malicious purposes.
Well, and it's up to us to make sure that we stand up. I've tried to reach out to a lot of conservatives to hold some gun rallies at the national level, Larry, as you are well aware. But you know what? Everybody I talk to just they're just kind of like, man, it's a you know, they're not going to do anything here. It's a kind of a dead issue. Let's move on. The elections are coming up, and they're deceived, sir.
I think there's been a lot of relief. No matter what Trump does, hey, he's not Obama. And I understand that. Obama was a 24/7 threat aimed directly at the fundamental liberties of Americans. Donald Trump is not that at all, but he's not necessarily alert to continuing dangers from the deep state and from legislators. And so we've got a lot of work to do. We've got to be keeping the heat on President Trump, even as we've kept heat on other politicians. I think his motives are probably not nearly as unsavory as, say, the Republican leadership in the Congress. But that doesn't mean that he's free from error and that we really need to be doubling down on putting the heat on him, saying what you did was wrong. Don't do that again. Go undo what you just did. He's actually made statements that indicate that he didn't like the bill that he signed, and that he had it not been for funding the military, that he would have not done that.
Yeah, but he said that about the big budget fiasco, too, the omnibus spending bill. It's like, this is horrible. I'll never sign it again, as he signs it, though. So to me, that's a cop-out.
We've got our work cut out for us. We defeated the Obama initiative. We don't have Hillary Clinton. And anytime I get really upset with President Trump, I have to remember he did keep us from being afflicted by Hillary Clinton. She was really bad news. She would have been probably the end of the American Republic. So, but all the same, these are things that he's done that shouldn't have been done. And we've got to double down and keep the pressure on and become so irritating that he finally relents and says, I'm not going to do that anymore. That was not a good deal that I cut. The art of the deal seems to have more speed bumps than it did when I was in New York City.
Well, and the thing is that we would hope that the Republican leadership would hold Donald accountable on this, but they seem worse than the Donald.
I can't see Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan doing anything that requires a backbone. The only time they're going to like Donald Trump is when he does something wrong, like what we've been talking about. The Republican, I could even think of using Hillary Clinton's favorite word, they're deplorable.
Well, they are, and the sad part is we got to keep working at it. The NRA, a lukewarm partner, it seems. Is it going to be more lukewarm now that we're going to get Ollie there? I mean, he seems to be a pretty, you know, mainstream kind of guy, you know?
He is a mainstream sort of guy. Ollie North is probably a good fit at the NRA. I don't see him leading the NRA to really bust the chops of the liberal establishment. When he ran for Congress for the U.S. Senate years and years and years ago, he took some positions on firearms, being soft on the semi-automatic firearms issue, the so-called assault weapons, that it opened my eyes to the fact that a guy who was courageous on the battlefield is not necessarily going to be courageous in another environment, in the political battles, if you will. And he doesn't have the same way of evaluating what needs to be done. And so he will be much more, he was much more prone to giving ground, thinking that was wisdom, than he was when he was a battlefield commander. And he was truly somebody that, you know, you'd want to follow him in battle, but I don't think I'd want to follow him in political and political initiatives.
All right. Now, one of the points that I've made is, you know what, while we're disarming the American people at the state level and we're violating due process with this red flag gun confiscation stuff, we're arming government agencies to the teeth, but we're also the biggest arms dealer in the world. Now, I say we're one of the biggest because I don't know when you talk about black ops, if there's other folks distributing weapons as much as we are, that you can't really account for. So it's hard for me to say who's the biggest is. But we arm and train and fund the enemies around the world, just like we did in Operation Fast and Furious right across our own border. We do this routinely around the world. Now Donald Trump nukes Iran nuclear deal, withdrawing the United States from the Iran nuclear accord. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm encouraged by something like that. I'm glad that he pulled out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was going to cost us billions of dollars, while letting the Russians and the Chinese ignore the terms of that treaty. The same with the Paris Accords. All these treaties have been aimed at restricting the United States, and meanwhile, some of our biggest opponents have been free to continue as they wished. So I'm hopeful that Trump is not going to fall into any of those traps abroad that he seems to have done here domestically. His willingness to challenge the orthodoxy of the establishment there is encouraging, and I hope it continues.
What I find oftentimes is Donald Trump touts the right point in the public eye very well. But behind the scenes, it ends up way different, and people don't really realize the disconnect.
And part of that, I think, is the deep state, which is so embedded that even if Trump may have said he wants to go in a positive direction, getting it actually accomplished is quite another matter, because the people that he has to count on are down in the bureaucracy, the so-called deep state, and their attitude is, the president has made a decision. Let's see him carry it out by himself.
And not only let's see him carry it out by himself, but let's do everything we can while we're in the administration to circumvent it.
To sandbag him, to try to bring him down. That, I think, is one of the big things to take away from this, is that the establishment here in Washington is the sworn enemy of what Donald Trump says he wants to do, and they are doing everything they can to embarrass him. They're leaking like sieves, and all of this is designed to discredit him to the point that they're hoping that he'll just have to step down as president.
They're certainly going to try to impeach him and do all that they can. Now, last point really quick before we let you fly. What about Gina Haspel? You know, she's a waterboarder. She's a torture lady. Most of her life has been secret as she's worked for the deep state. And now Donald wants to put her in power at the CIA.
Well, if the deep state's opposed to her, that kind of gives me a conflicting point of view on the subject. Nobody has come forth and said that she actually maybe even though she had used methods that were something that you and I would have a lot of questions about, the fact is that she was working for the United States, and that just simply outrages her critics, and they're using the issues of waterboarding and whatever else they can drag up to try to pull her down. And so I think we have to, when we try to evaluate her going into a big position at the CIA, it's all the expected critics, the normal suspects, are the ones that are telling us how bad she is.
And at least we don't have Henry Kissinger coming back.
Say that again.
All right, my friend. Godspeed. Last quick question. Are memberships up? Are people realizing?
It's been remarkable. Every time the media says people ought to give up their guns, we get such a rush of people to gunowners.org. You can't believe it. It even shut our server down for a brief moment not long ago.
We're praying for more of it, my friend. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend others become members today. Gunowners.org, the only non-compromised gun lobby in America today. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
There he goes. All right. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Straight ahead. LibertyRoundtable.com. LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. We declare this nation shall endure.